Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Jill Kaufman. It's Wednesday and time for sports with Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hi, Bill.
How are you, Jill?
I'm good. It's really good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
We have a special guest today, Bill, WBUR Sports and Society reporter Shira Springer. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. Elevated to special guest.
Oh, we could have said a lot more. I think they took some of it out of the script. Let's jump right in because we got the word last night that the Boston Celtics finally got their man. That would be all-star forward Gordon Hayward. So tell us a bit about Gordon Hayward. For those who don't know, who is he and where has he been playing? Bill.
He has been playing in Utah, and before that, he played for some fella named Stevens.
Some guy.
Some place called Butler.
Affiliated with him.
And he has been known to score. In fact, when he was playing for Butler, he almost scored from half court against Duke, which provided a nearly memorable moment for NCAA basketball.
We're going to remind listeners about that in a second.
He's quite close to the basket, and he shoots from all sorts of places and averages well over 20 points and gets some rebounds, too. So I can't really see how he could possibly hurt. And there is every possibility that he may help quite a bit.
So he may not have come into the league as an A-list player, but he made the All-Star team last year. And you think the Celtics are getting him at the right time?
I think so. I think they're getting him. He's 27 years old. He's entering his prime. He averaged 22 points per game last season. He was an all-star. So it seems his career is on the upswing. And, you know, listen, he was the most prized free agent out there. And he was the guy that the Celtics targeted. He should be a good fit with Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford, to what they're hoping will be the core of the Celtics going forward. So, yeah, but you never know how these things are going to work out, what the chemistry will be like once the season starts. But he's the guy they wanted. And after some back and forth yesterday, some drama, was he going to come to Boston or stay with Utah? They got him.
Yeah, and in Utah, they're burning his jersey.
I know. Can you believe that? I guess that's what happens when you're a one pro team town,
well,
right?
Yeah.
You know, you burn. It's that big a deal. I couldn't believe it.
But
burning Hayward jerseys.
From a Boston perspective, it may be a positive sign because it means they're sad that he's leaving. They regard him as somebody who they would just soon not lose.
Well, may those Boston fans be as respectful in other ways, since we know we've seen them at play in other sports. Hey, so Hayward's being reunited with this coach, as you mentioned, Stevens, that guy, Coach Brad Stevens. They came very close, as you mentioned, Bill, to winning a championship together about 7 years ago when Hayward played for Butler and Stevens was young then, right? He was not as experienced. There is a bit of sound. We have a clip of Hayward taking that last shot in the championship game against Duke.
It's Hayward pulling it down, getting around Zubac at midcourt, launches the shot. Oh, it almost went in! Almost went in, and Duke is the king of the dance, 2010.
Almost. See, it's just a shame almost that sound doesn't end with a shh, the ball going through the net.
So this coach Stevens that Hayward played with then, and they were both there that night, it was one of the biggest factors in Hayward's decision to come to Boston. He says they do have this unfinished business to attend to. They want to win a title. You know, they want to win something. Is that realistic?
Well, I think, you know, the answer to that question is, you know, does this bring them closer to the Cleveland Cavaliers? I mean, that's the team to beat in the East. And then once you get past the Cleveland Cavaliers,
you get to lose to Golden State.
Yes, I was going to say you have the Golden State Warriors to face, and they're not going anywhere anytime soon. So I think, to me, you hope that there's a pretty long window here for the Celtics to develop. I don't think we're talking about a ring in the next 2, 3, maybe 4 years, given, you know, what they have in Cleveland with LeBron and what they have in Golden State with Steph Curry. But the idea here is that you are building something, you are creating this core, and this core is going to grow together, and they're going to add players, you know, over time, so that they can, one, come closer to the Cavaliers, and then ultimately be top dog.
You know, you mentioned a few moments ago about the top three the Celtics now have. They have Gordon Hayward, they have Isaiah Thomas, they have Al Horford. So is that the new big three for this team?
No.
I was going to say, don't you find it really funny, though, when anybody says big three and Isaiah Thomas is in the conversation?
Yeah.
I mean, Isaiah Thomas, I'm 5'2". Isaiah Thomas is maybe 5'4", 5'5".
Well, the other problem
I heard
is that
6'9" is not considered tall. I just learned that.
The two earlier iterations of the big three were very big indeed.
Yeah.
they were very good.
And not just size, we're talking about just talent.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, 5'9", is that that tall? I heard that Gordon Hayward was 6'9". No, he's, how tall is Gordon Hayward?
6'8".
He's Larry Bird size.
Okay, so he is Larry Bird size. Yeah. Is he the next... Is he the
don't
next?
Even go. Don't even no, go there. No, don't no. even go there.
Okay, so no one is saying
it's
that.
So it's so unfair to Gordon Hayward.
If he were to be the next Larry Bird, we would have noticed by now.
Yes, yes. We are 7 years into his career, and we would have noticed. Okay. Bill is absolutely right.
Briefly, what kind of contract is he getting with the Celtics?
4 years, $128 million. Nice to be
so young.
Nice to be 6'8" and a very skilled basketball player, isn't it?
All right, and he did take a rather unusual path to basketball itself. He thought
tennis.
He was going into tennis, right? So what happened? What happened here, and when did it happen?
Brad Stevens noticed that he was an exceptionally tall tennis player.
Over an exceptionally short period of time,
might
right?
be able to help out the basketball team at Butler.
I was going to say the growth spurt is the answer there. Yeah, I think once he was in high school and he wasn't quite, 6'8", or not even near 6'8", and then he had a tremendous growth spurt. And I think if you're a kid from Indiana and you're 6'8", really, it's all about basketball.
Okay. General Manager Danny Ainge is getting a lot of praise for his off-season moves with Hayward and otherwise. And our producer, Sean Bowden, though, says that every once in a while he's seen, and others have seen, a player who's got a great year, they get a huge contract, and they don't always replicate that great year. So did the Celtics pass on some notable players in the draft to get Hayward? And how big a gamble is he?
I don't think he's that big a
gamble. No, I think what Shira said before is absolutely right. The people who know a lot about this regard him as the best available choice at this point. And I don't think you can exactly ignore that sort of thing. And this guy, it's not like the guy had one great year. I mean, he's been a solid player for a fair amount of time, and there's every reason to suppose he will continue to be.
And we keep mentioning Brad Stevens, and I think that's another key part, not only in getting Gordon Hayward here, but also in the continued development of Gordon Hayward. This is a coach who got the best out of him in college, and I think the same will be true when
Except for that one shot,
yeah. Exactly. And the same will be be true when he's with the Celtics.
So, Shira, I guess this is the society and the sport and society. This is going to be a really amazing relationship to watch. I mean, there's a love between these two guys. They are sticking together in the next iteration in pro ball. So
yeah, it will be interesting to see how it's one thing to take a teenager into, the college years and develop him as a college player. It's another thing, when you're taking a 27-year-old man and trying to refine his game. But I have confidence in both Hayward and in Stevens to figure this all out.
Okay. You ready to talk Sox?
Ready.
Okay, Red Sox in the news past few days. It's early in the season, but the team has been hitting stride after a lot of back and forth in the standings, and it is still close. But right now, the Red Sox have a 4-game lead over the Yankees in the AL East, and anybody who pays attention knows that already. So early in the year, Radio Boston talked about a rookie named Andrew Benintendi, and he had a big game yesterday. Here's the call on the field after his second home run of the night.
It's that one well to left field toward the corner, and it is gone. Off the top of the wall, it bounces over the wall. His second home run of the game. 5 for 5 with two homers. And he's not yet 23 years old. 10-0 Red Sox.
How good is he?
Not a bad week for a lot of players. he's very good. And more to the point, since baseball is a team sport, the Red Sox have won 8 of their last 10. They are, at least numerically speaking, the hottest team in baseball. And what a good time to hit your stride, first week in July. Good idea.
Yeah, I was going to say, good to hit your stride now, especially since he had a couple of big slumps, long slumps in May, and I think something like an 0-for-26 drought. And then shortly after that, he was 1-for-23. So he's clearly had some bumps in the road as a rookie. This is his first full season in the majors, but he seems like he's figuring it all out now. And this is what you want. You want that momentum to build as you get towards September.
And is it really that early in the season? I mean, we're midway.
We're almost to the All-Star break.
Right, we should be getting excited at this point. So David Price was on the mound this weekend as well. He seemed to be looking good after a pretty rough start to the season. Is he now where the Red Sox need him as a pitcher?
Well, he needs to
win more than 4 games in 3 months.
And well, he did have that elbow issue early in the season, and it was 6 shutout innings, I believe. So I think physically he's coming around to where maybe the Red Sox hoped he would. They didn't do surgery on the elbow, and they rehabbed through it. Mentally might be a different question. As we all know, with David Price, he recently got into it with a baseball commentator, local commentator, Dennis Eckersley, former Red Sox pitcher.
Yeah, I was going to say, not a bad pitcher.
Yeah, I was going to say, not a bad pitcher. Exactly. You know, had some. Now, Price said he was defending his teammates, but there have been some questionable interactions with the media. So I think physically he might be on the right track, but let's hope that mentally he's in a good place too.
Winning tends to solve a lot of those problems.
Yes.
It wipes out your memory.
Dennis Eckersley is not going to say anything negative about the team if they continue to win eight out
yes.
of each 10
Six
games.
Six-game winning streak, yeah.
Likewise in the clubhouse, okay. Winning tends to paper over most of the negative interactions.
It's kind of like labor
players. Pains,
Bill, would you say?
I have no idea.
No, I know. I just remember how much you enjoyed it. Okay, fine. All right, so the IAAF, this is, we just got a couple of minutes left, even less. The International Governing Body for Track and Field put out a press release this week referencing research that was in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. It looked at the competitive advantage enjoyed by female athletes with high testosterone levels. So, Shira, why put this press release out? I mean, it is notable.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting press release for the IAAF to put out, and they put it out basically because they said, hey, listen, this backs up our contention that, you know, women with high testosterone levels enjoy a competitive advantage. You know, and there's been some legal back and forth with various athletes over whether it does or doesn't convey, whether high testosterone does or doesn't convey an advantage. But I think the larger issue to look at here and what interests me is that sports organizations, international sports organizations, are beginning to take a closer scientific look and realize that this issue with gender and high testosterone levels and blood chemistry is going to be something they're going to need to focus on in the future. And this is not just at the international sports level. We're going to be dealing with this at the youth level, at the high school level, and the college level. And I'm glad to see, even if they're saying it defends, you know, their case, them taking a real strong scientific
yes.
look at the
yeah.
issue.
Sure, we've agreed already there's a whole segment to do on
yes.
such sports across the fields. Bill Littlefield and Shira Springer, excuse me, thank you so much. Bill Littlefield is host of NPR's Only a Game. He joins us every Wednesday to talk sports. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you, Jill.
And our special guest,
Shira Springer. I'm keeping that title.
Shira Springer is a WBUR Sports and Society reporter. Thank you so much
Thanks for
joining
me.
Us. This is Radio Boston. I'm Jill Kaufman.